highest of heights to the depths of the sea.
But he did do this. But he, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there it is. So remember that as we discuss these three different views. And I've already shared with you my opinion, but we're going to look at these three different views, and you can make your own decision. And I'm obviously going to be pretty biased, I'll be honest with you, because one of them makes no sense. The other one, they have to stretch it, and one fits in like a nice piece puzzle into a puzzle box, and that's the pre-trib rapture.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. In today's study, Pastor Rob explains there are three views of the rapture of the church. The pre-tribulation rapture seems to be the one that makes sense. Then he explains that the Bible says the church is referred to as the bride of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says this, "For God did not appoint us to wrath." As Christ's bride, it would stand to reason that he would protect his bride. Therefore, God's wrath is satisfied by Christ, and the church will be raptured prior to the end times tribulation. Now let's join Pastor Rob.
Decision, and I'm obviously going to be pretty biased, I'll be honest with you, because one of them makes no sense. The other one, they have to stretch it, and one fits in like a nice piece puzzle into a puzzle box, and that's the pre-trib rapture. But he did do this. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, and there it is. So remember that as we discuss these three different views, and I've already shared with you my opinion. But we're going to look at these three different views, and you can make your own decision. And I'm obviously going to be pretty biased, I'll be honest with you, because one of them makes no sense. The other one, they have to stretch it, and one fits in like a nice piece puzzle into a puzzle box, and that's the pre-trib rapture. But he did do this. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, and there it is. So remember that as we discuss these three different views, and I've already shared with you my opinion, but we're going to look at these three different views, and you can make your own decision. And I'm obviously going to be pretty biased, I'll be honest with you, because one of them makes no sense. The other one, they have to stretch it, and one fits in like a nice piece puzzle into a puzzle box. And that's the pre-trib rapture. But the Thessalonian church, Paul wrote these letters to them because they were confused, because Paul had taught them a pre-tribulation rapture, meaning a pre-tribulation rapture means that before the tribulation happens, that the Lord will rapture his church. That's all a pre-tribulation rapture means. It means before the tribulation period occurs, God comes for his own and takes her to heaven with him. But after Paul taught them that, there were certain people, deceivers, that had come in after Paul, and they had confused the people by telling them that they had missed this monumental thing. They'd missed the rapture of the church, and now they were going through the tribulation period. And it would seem that they were, from their perspective, because you got to understand, it's all relative, because remember, the first century church was under great persecution, unlike anything we've seen. So they, as soon as they started receiving this persecution, they began to get really troubled about what Paul was saying, and especially after someone came in after Paul and says, "Oh, you guys missed the rapture. You're not really saved. Now you're going through the great tribulation period." And so naturally, people are upset. They're concerned. They're like, "What is going on?" So Paul writes this letter to clear that issue up once and for all. And so we'll look more at that verse later on. But this is in Israel, in the Bible, is referred to as the wife of Jehovah. Throughout the Bible, the prophets, the wife of Jehovah is Israel. But the church in the New Testament is referred to as the bride of Christ, which we are. If you're a believer in Jesus, you are part of the bride of Christ. And some believe that the church must go through this great tribulation period or God's wrath in order to be purified. Does that sound right to you? It really doesn't to me. But there are people who believe that, and they can believe that if they want. I believe they're wrong. And we can still love that. We can still, we're all going to heaven, okay? The main thing is that we believe in Jesus. So these differences that I'm going to be sharing with you are not things that are going to determine whether somebody, a Christian, goes to heaven or hell. They're going to heaven. It's just that we have a disagreement on some of these things. But again, if the church needs to go through the tribulation period, which is God's wrath, does everybody understand what I mean by that? I know when we were in Revelation, we went through this, but the tribulation period is those chapters in the book of Revelation that begin with chapter 6 and go through chapters 19, verse 10. That whole period, it speaks about the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments, and they are all judgments of God, the wrath of God upon the earth to those who have rejected his son and has rejected him. And you and I, based on 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9, will not see that wrath of God. Because if we had to go through that, then what Jesus did on the cross really was null and void. Do you follow? Does that make sense? And that's important to understand. So the three different views of the rapture are the pre-tribulation rapture view, the mid-tribulation rapture view, and the post-tribulation rapture view. And basically what it is this. We all agree that there's going to be a rapture. All Christians who read the Bible believe and know that the rapture is going to occur. The difference is some believe that it's going to happen at certain times and others don't. So let me just give you an idea, and I'm sorry I don't have a graphic for you because I've got it somewhere, but the idea of a pre-trib rapture is we know this tribulation period is for the world that has rejected Christ. It's a horrible period of time. The Old Testament prophets talked about it being the time of Jacob's trouble. It's called Daniel's 70th week. And it is a time of wrath from God to unbelieving people. Follow? And so some people believe that Jesus raptures the church just prior to that tribulation period. That's called a pre-tribulation rapture. Others believe that somewhere in the middle of this tribulation period, 3.5 years into that tribulation period, is when the church is raptured. We'll look at that view. And then there are others who believe that at the end of that 7-year period, just prior to Christ coming, that the church gets raptured then, and then they somehow come back down again. That doesn't make any sense to me. So those are the three views in a nutshell. And we're going to look at the least likely, in my opinion, and I believe my opinion is shared by many. And so we're going to look at the post-tribulation rapture first. And again, that's the belief that the church will be raptured after the Great Tribulation period. And in other words, that they will have to go through the tribulation period to somehow be purged of its sin. I don't know about you, but that sounds kind of awkward to me based on what the Bible tells me about Jesus' atonement for me on the cross. But anyway, so, and I haven't spent a great deal of time on this view, but perhaps there's confusion with this view. Because the Bible tells us that the Old Testament saints will be raptured at the end of the tribulation period, and more specifically, at the beginning of the millennial reign, because at the end of that tribulation period, Christ comes in his second coming physically to the earth, and we come back with him. The church in new bodies, in our resurrected bodies, we come back with him, and then what starts is what is called the millennial reign of Christ, or the thousand-year reign of Christ. Okay, but somewhere at the beginning of that millennial reign, the Old Testament saints who believed in God but who have died, they will be resurrected from the dead at that time because they weren't in Christ. They believed in God from the Old Testament, but this was before Christ was crucified and resurrected. And you'll notice that it's those people who have believed on Christ from that time going forward. There's an order to it, that the church will be raised first in the rapture, but at the end, or at the beginning, I'm sorry, of that millennial reign, the Old Testament saints. And you may be wondering, well, where is that? Show me where that is in the scripture. You can write these scriptures down for the sake of time. I'm just going to read them to you, okay? Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2. Notice this. Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble." Notice, he's describing the great tribulation period. "There will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered." This could be referring to the 144,000 Jews, which I'm introducing things here that I'm not qualifying because we don't have time right now. But notice, "And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust," and he's speaking about Daniel's people who are the Jews, "shall those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake." Notice, "some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." So there is this resurrection at the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ of the Old Testament saints. And even at the last verse of Daniel 12 and verse 13, he says to him, "But you, Daniel, go your way till the end, for you shall rest," meaning you shall die, "and you will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days." At the end of the days. And so there it is. But if we believe the scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9, then this view has to be dismissed. Meaning, if we know that that's going to happen, but if I think the people who hold to the post-tribulation rapture, I believe they might be confusing it with this verse in Daniel, because it's very easy to confuse the church and Israel. And if you keep those two separate, your eschatology, your study of last things, will be much better. It won't be a really confusing mess. So follow me. The Old Testament saints are resurrected at the beginning of the millennium, but it's not the church. And so maybe they're getting confused with that. And I don't blame them, because if you don't keep Israel and the church separated, you're going to be confused. So because Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 says, "We shall not, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation," if that be the case, then I have to dismiss this view pretty quickly. It's the one that makes the least sense. And there are many other reasons too, which we don't have time to go into. But there's also a mid-tribulation rapture, and this one is the belief that the church will be removed midway of that seven-year period, somewhere in the middle, in the three-and-a-half-year period, and that the church will have to go through the tribulation period. But the 70th week of Daniel, or the Great Tribulation, again, is called Jacob's Trouble. That week that is referred to in Daniel is a week of years, a seven-week period. So if it's Jacob's trouble, that means the whole thing is Jacob's trouble, not just half of it, because there is some believe that there's a pre-wrath view, which we'll get to, which we'll talk about momentarily. But the folks who hold to this idea of a mid-tribulation rapture, turn with me to Revelation chapter 11. And this is where they believe the rapture of the church will occur, for those who hold to that view. Now remember, in the tribulation period, there are three different waves of judgments. There's the seal judgments. There's seven seal judgments. There's seven trumpet judgments. And then there's seven bowl judgments. Those who hold to this view believe that it's at the seventh trumpet, which is about midway into the Great Tribulation period. They believe that it's that moment that the church is removed. But think about this, though. If that is true, then those first 3.5 years, which are still God's wrath and his judgment, the church still has to go through that. So it doesn't really fit. And so we'll talk about that in a minute. But notice, it says in verse 15 of chapter 11, it says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven." And this is where people think that it's the seventh trumpet. They call it maybe the last trump, but it really isn't. When we were in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, remember where it says, "And the trump of God will sound," or at the last trump? Well, the last trump for the church, but not the last trumpet during the Great Tribulation period. Those are two different trumpets, I believe. But this is what they believe, that this seventh trumpet, it says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.' And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned, and the nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth.'" And so that's what they hold to. But those who hold to this view believe that the Great Tribulation only refers to the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation. And so they tailor this view to call it the pre-wrath view. And what that view means is that they believe, okay, and I'm going to prove this to you, that this is not really correct, this view, but they believe that the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period are not God's wrath, only the last 3.5, meaning at the seventh trumpet onward, including the seven bowls of judgment, that's when they believe that is wrath. So they believe that right before that last 3.5 years, that's when the church is raptured at the seventh trumpet, thus the term pre-wrath. But I don't hold to that. I don't believe that. And why? Is it because I just don't like it? Is it because of my feelings? No, it's not. It's because of what the Word of God says. Again, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Now, the proof of that is in Revelation 6 through 19, because that is the wrath of God being poured out. Look with me. I want to refute this idea that only the last half of the tribulation is God's wrath. I want to refute that to you and show you that that is wrong scripturally, not because I feel that way. I want to show that to you, because the whole entire 7-year period is God's wrath. Let's go to Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Revelation. You guys having a good time? You're going, "Oh my goodness, what did I get into tonight?" But this is good stuff. This is doctrine, and this is why the Bible is important. That's why it's good to read and study your Bible, because these kinds of things are helpful. Notice Revelation chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. It says, "After these things," and I just want to let you know that this passage that I'm reading in Revelation 7, verse 9 through, 14, I think it is? Yes. This is in the sixth seal, during the sixth seal judgments. Do you follow? Remember, in the tribulation period, the seal judgments. So we're talking about the sixth seal that this is given to us, okay? So those who hold to the pre-wrath or mid-trib view say that the wrath is really only in the second half. But I'm going to prove to you tonight that in Revelation 7, during the sixth seal judgment, that wrath is already underway. Look at this. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And then verse 13, "Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'Well, who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from?'" And the Bible says that we will receive robes of righteousness, the very robes of Christ. "And who are these robed in white robes? And where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." Or I'm sorry, he asked one of the elders, let me back up here, I messed up the whole thing. "Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know,'" because obviously John is talking to an angel. "And so he said to me, 'These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation.'" Underline that phrase. It's specific. There is a definite article. That means it is a definite period of time. They came out of the great tribulation. Do you follow? And this is occurring during the seal judgments. And they've already died, and now they're in glory, and now they're saying that these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. Do you follow my thought here? So this first half of the great tribulation period is indeed God's wrath, because these guys were martyred and now they're in heaven. And so let's go to another place. The wrath of God is also shown in Revelation chapter 15. Go to chapter 15 with me and look at the first verse of chapter 15. And again, this is the bowl judgments, the bowl judgments. So remember, we had the seals, the trumpet wrath or trumpet judgments, and now the bowl judgments, seven of each. And then right here in verse 15, what does it tell us? "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues," or the bowl judgments. Notice in this, and underline this, "for in them the wrath of God is complete." Meaning, he's already started wrath, but now it's going to be complete. Because haven't we been talking about the seal judgments, the seven seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, and these last judgments are going to complete the wrath of God. Do you follow? So, and there are other things to consider too. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, it says, "And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off." And this is one of the greatest end time prophecies in the Bible. It's the one that everything is hinged to. It is the central focus of all end time prophecy. If there's one prophecy for you to look at, it's here in Daniel 9 in verses 24 through 27, I believe it is. And I've talked about this at detail. But notice, after 62 weeks, and these are weeks of years, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Being cut off means he'll be executed, he will die, but not for himself, meaning he didn't commit a crime in a sense that he did himself. "And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary." And who are those who came and destroyed the city? The Romans.
That's the end of our lesson for today, but please join us next time when Pastor Rob continues our study on the rapture of the church. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.